Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty, and I feel rusty, but that's okay, because today is a beautiful day, and the birds are chirping, and the sun is out, and you can finally hear me because my headset stopped hanging up on you. I know, it happens. Crazy. Mercury's in retrograde. Look at him. Pull that Mercury right out, so technology works for me today. I am sitting here looking at my first check from doTERRA, so thank you for the support out there. doTERRA is a product that I highly recommend, and I guess you guys like it, so thank you. I appreciate it, and contact me if you want to do any online classes, because that's what I'm here for. Oh boy, am I so excited. So I am a workaholic, as you all know. I work three jobs, and I'm a full-time single mom, and I don't play as much as I should. And this year, my dedication to myself, my mind, body, and soul is to play more. And Lillian So is the perfect person to have that conversation with because she is a stress buster. Super excited about pulling her on because she's going to talk to us about how to get out of our own head. I have squirrels, they're rabid, or they're drunk, and they're running around my head all the time. She's going to help me get rid of my squirrels, maybe. And then she's going to talk about treating your body like the fanciest dream house you've ever owned. So, Lillian, if you're out there, knock, knock, come on in. I'm so excited about talking to you today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm here.
Yay. All right, so you're a stress buster. You know what burnout is. You know what it's like to be a workaholic. You know the adrenaline rush. And when your adrenaline is rushing, you can keep going. But if you slow down, then you're sleepy. You can't keep going. And then your ego and your mind gets in the way, and, oh, I can go on for hours because I live this. So talk to us about busting the stress, kicking the ass, and saying, no, thank you, I'm going to take some time out.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing this. I mean, I think, first of all, I don't think anyone's ever referred to me as a stress buster, like a ghostbuster, you said. And I laughed. I was like, oh, my God, I like that. That's one. Yeah, it's totally cute. And, like, that is a title I've never received before, but that is definitely one of many things you can call me. I feel like we are, I mean, not I feel like, we are so overworked. We're under so much pressure. We have, you know, more responsibilities than ever before. We have more items that we want to check off our list. We have more dreams than we've ever had before, which is all really great and all. But also at the same time, we don't realize how much of our energy, how much of our strength, how much of our health that can really deplete us of, how much it can actually take from us in the pursuit of all of these accomplishments and achievements. So forth. And so things that I've really learned from my own personal journey and through working with clients all over the world for the last two decades is that we are simply not taking care of ourselves holistically. We are not taking care of ourselves enough, just at a baseline level, and we're also not taking care of ourselves holistically. And if we were taking better care of ourselves holistically, then we would be able to still accomplish the things that we want, but we would actually get more streamlined, we would actually get more intentional, and we would actually be more effective and get things that we want without, you know, killing ourselves basically in the first place. And so that is pretty much what I talk about inside of this book.
One of my best friends and I were, I had to go in for my colonoscopy this morning. And so it's like quarter of six in the morning, we're cruising and we have an hour drive. We were talking about the same thing. You know, we were talking about how we just rinse and repeat and we work so hard and we set ourselves up to fail in a lot of ways. And it's not that our intentions are to do good and to do better for the most part, but the way we set up our immediate needs versus long-term goals is very convoluted. And I think it's TV. I think TV has really jumped our brains up with what I call the shiny object syndrome. So everybody wants the shiny car and the shiny house and the new this and the new that and blah, blah, blah. In reality, we don't need all of that. That's not a need. It's an addiction to something, that carrot that's just too far out of reach.
Yeah, I agree. I know. And, you know, social media doesn't help either, right? Everyone's living their best life on social media. And you see it all around us. We're more connected than ever to how other people are, you know, living and flexing their glamorous life. So I think we get really confused and discombobulated around what it is that's actually really important, what's actually really important, you know, what is actually the things that we value, what are the things that we really, really, truly want to call into our lives. And we just get really, really distracted and burned out as a result. And to your point, we also don't learn these things, right? No one teaches us these things when we're going to school. No one teaches us like, oh, hey, by the way, did you know that you actually need to take care of yourself first, that you actually need to be aware of your thoughts and your energy and your boundaries and, you know, what your intentions are and what your values are and listen to your intuition. Those are the things that are important. Like, you don't learn these things, nor do you learn how to actually take care of those things. And which is why in this book, I aim for this book to be kind of like a user manual in a sense. I call it like a human operating manual so that you can learn how to better take care of all of these parts of yourself so that you're not getting caught up in things that you don't actually need, but you think you need because you got confused along your journey.
And I agree. I honestly believe that we need to really harness the ability to meditate and to practice yoga and to teach our children better eating habits. Drive-through is not a good eating habit. It might be convenient. It might be quick, but in the long run, you're going to see your gastroenterologist more than you wanted to. Perspective isn't there in regards to what is good for the mind, body, and soul, and we should start that when they're toddlers. I feel very fortunate that when my daughter was little, I had seven gardens, and one of them was a vegetable garden. And so every day we would go out, and we would pick our dinner, you know, the components for our dinner, and now she eats amazing. She eats better than I do for the most part. She's very, very healthy and very aware and conscious about that. And when she went into high school, she was very disappointed that they didn't have a proper salad bar. She's like, Mom, we're not idiots. We want to eat real food, but all they have is chicken fingers and pizza. And so we set our children up to fail in our doing or not doing in this case.
Right.
And we don't offer an opportunity until they get cancer or until, you know, we get cancer as parents to go, oh, my God, I should do things better or I should change my living patterns or whatever it is. And
exactly.
It's not that.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I was just talking to my client yesterday about how I grew up with immigrant parents. You know, my parents are Korean immigrants. They came to the States, and then I was born here in the States. But, you know, my parents, between raising us and then, you know, going to their jobs and, you know, putting food on the table and whatnot, there was just a lot of things that they just didn't know better. And so I grew up on all kinds of junk food and soda pop and processed foods and things like that. And I had no idea. They didn't know. They were just like, oh, wow, cool. Like, there's this option where you can buy frozen meals and all you have to do is microwave them. and you know, I was totally raised under a lot of, you know, those things and really didn't know better. And, you know, I had to really spend a lot of years, obviously, unlearning and relearning and developing new patterns and things like that. And, you know, a lot of my clients I really relate to that as well. So that's amazing that your daughter, you know, has a woke mom like you that can, you know, take care of these things and make sure that they're learning, that you're learning them up from the jump, you know, from the start. That's so important. That's just, you know, definitely, I'm like, wow. I'm like, that was definitely not my experience. And that's awesome that, you know, we know so much more now that we could do that with our kids. But are you still working your job now?
Mm-hmm. You know, me, yeah, I do. But I think we should teach that to the adults so that they can spread that to the children. And I think they should be mandatory classes where kids are taking time out to do some yoga, time out to breathe and participate in healthy, positive team building skills and learning how to cook properly.
Yeah.
And I think it should be a fundamental.
I know. These are, it's like, this is the kind of stuff that we should be learning when we're kids. And actually, when my clients come to me, we have a running joke inside of our containers, inside of my programs, that everyone is a hashtag adult baby, and that we're just learning from scratch. Like, we're learning how to, like, we're actually learning how to adult. We're actually learning for once, you know, as an adult, full-grown adult, you know, in their 30s and their 40s, like really learning for the first time, like why water is important, why like actually going to sleep and eating well and, you know, doing things like breathing are so essential. It's crazy. It's hilarious. It's like, oh, wow, who knew? How come they didn't teach us these things growing up? Wow.
Yeah, and I wonder why there is such a disconnect, because they don't even have home economics in school anymore. And I'm scratching my head going, well, how are these kids going to function outside of their home not knowing how to boil water? You know, not everything's my
right.
It's bizarre to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was, when I was in college, I also did some studies, and I actually did the education track as well. So I got my degree in exercise science, you know, exercise physiology and whatnot, and studied all those things, kinesiology and whatnot. And then I also added on physical education in the school so that I could, if I wanted to, you know, teach inside the schools as well. And one of the things that would always come up was, you know, it's like, well, this is obviously not a good solid route to go down, because these programs are the first ones getting cut, you know, in school systems and things like that. And it's like, oh my God, but why though? This is the thing that they need the most, right? But we've placed so much value on, you know, we've placed so much value on such, you know, so many other things that, you know, the very most basics, which is actually taking care of our health first and foremost, our vessel, our body, just goes by the wayside. So now we have to, like you said, learn these things when we're all of a sudden feeling symptoms and we're burned out and we're like wondering, like, why is my hair falling out? Why haven't I lost weight in, you know, 10 years? Why do I keep putting on weight these days? Like, what is happening to me? Because we didn't learn all these things when we should have. So.
Well, I think sometimes when we have weight issues, I think weight issues in itself is more psychological, and I think there's many components. For people like me who survived severe trauma, I think weight gain is a protection layer. It's where we
absolutely
psychologically on a subconscious level go, I need to be able to disappear and not get attention and not be beautiful and not, because I don't want to go through trauma again. And there's a psychological component to it. But I also think that there is a physiological component to it. Because sometimes your body just doesn't process the shit that's manufactured. Like, if you look at half of the manufactured food that people consume, just the salt content in a lasagna is mind-boggling. It's like 1,310 grams of salt.
Yeah, I know. It's like the stuff
lasagna.
I was raised on. Yeah, it is crazy. I know, I always think about, like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And no, I love that you're bringing up, you know, the other components, right? Like the psychological component, how, you know, even putting on things like weight is a trauma response. And that's so very true. And that's exactly, obviously, what I talk about inside the book as well, which is, you know, we have to take care of all the layers of the body, right? Not just physical, but the mental, emotional, the energetic, the spiritual, and so forth. And I love that you're actually talking about that, you know, on radio here and bringing that up, because I feel like we need to have more conversations about that kind of stuff and how everything is connected and how everything affects everything. It's very, very real.
It does. We're really, you know, I went into my colonoscopy and we were all, my friend and I were joking and just being playful about the whole thing. And she's the kind of person who's very anti-doctor, very intuitive, would rather go to a medical intuitive, so on and so forth. And I'm the one who's like, just if you can have a video camera, take pictures, make sure I'm smiling, and let's get it over with. You know,
right.
So we always have fun when we're together and talking about these things. And it's really interesting how I think, and she agreed with me, which is where I'm trying to go with this conversation, our intestines are actually the brains of our body. But people don't realize that. They don't realize how important parts of our organs and how our organs play a huge part in our lives. And stress is a huge, huge, huge factor in shutting those organs down or stressing those organs out. And people don't talk about that enough. I really, really think that if we can nail the stress factor in our lives, we wouldn't have as much cancer in the world. We wouldn't have as much IBS and Crohn's and all of those other diseases, because we would be more in tune with our body and more able to heal it.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, what you're describing is what I talk about in the beginning of the book, which is it shows up in the physical body last. For the longest time, I used to think, oh, it shows up in the physical body first. So as soon as your body, you know, breaks out, or you feel a pain, or you notice some kind of, you know, pain in your body or some kind of outbreak or something like that, that's when you're like, oh no, something's wrong. I better go get this checked out. And what I've learned through experience now is that it's actually not, it shows up in the physical body first. It's actually, it shows up in the physical body last. So by the time something has manifested, like you said, like cancer or some kind of illness, you know, there's been something on the fritz for a long time, right? There's been stress building up for years, if not decades. There has been unresolved stress, unresolved trauma, unresolved pain, memories, all of that has been lingering, sitting, multiplying, manifesting, festering, whatever you want to call it. And then finally, it all has to go somewhere is another thing that I always say. It's like it all has to go somewhere at a certain point. And then unfortunately, because, you know, the body is so wise, it, you know, has to process, it has to do something with it. And then that is oftentimes when we end up with illness. And wouldn't it be so great if we actually put these things at the forefront of our health conversations and actually put more funding and resources towards these things as well?
Well, and I think that we are in a paradox where there are individuals like you and I that really strongly advocate for healthier living, a healthier lifestyle, a healthier mindset, and really forgiving and grieving your traumas and going through that process, shadow work, as most of us would call it. But then there's no profitability for these major corporations, and so the doctors aren't trained to be fully doctors. I don't believe they're fully doctors. I believe they are, you know, westernized medicine practitioners, but I don't believe that they're fully doctors, because you would have to deal with mind, body, and soul to be a true physician in my head. That's the way, that's my personal belief. And
no,
they
don't
teach holistic health.
Yeah, no, you nailed it, because I was just having a conversation yesterday with my clients as well. And, you know, one of my clients who was also a trained pharmacist was a pharmacist and then eventually left because she wanted to, you know, kind of leave that whole system and whatnot. But she was talking about even in pharmacy and then also the way that doctors prescribe, what they're doing is they're looking at everything from the perspective of illness and disease and dysfunction, right? So even when they're in school, they're learning about metabolic dysfunction versus metabolic health. And like even when you go to, let's just call it therapy school, right? Like even when you go to like therapy school, it's like you're learning about mental illness and complications, but we're not talking about like, what does it actually look like to be healthy first? What does it actually look like? This is like what it looks like to be healthy. And then why aren't we working our way from there? But then instead it's more like, oh yeah, here's illness. Let's study illness. Let's study disease and then go and treat that illness, disease, symptoms basically, right? As cliche as it sounds. And we're not really talking about prevention and lifestyle and things like that. One of my acupuncturists, I've worked with lots of different healers throughout my life, and one acupuncturist that I had many years ago, and she said, a good Chinese doctor has no sick patients. And I was like, oh, right, like, exactly. I love that. Yeah, I love that. Awesome. I'm like, that is cool. That is badass. I'm going to remember that. You're right. And I try to apply that even when I'm working with my own clients too, right? Like, you know, a good Chinese doctor has no bad patients. I try to practice that too. It's like a good practitioner, you know, for me as a healer, as a facilitator, right, it has happy, thriving clients. That is, you know, I don't have clients that are, you know, spiraling out and ill, and especially the ones that I treat now for a long time, right? They're all happy, they're thriving, they're continuing. You know, of course, like life happens and stuff happens all the time, but, you know, they're for the most part, right, on this trajectory of perpetually peaking, perpetually unlocking and stepping more and more into their power and potential. That is the upward trend. So, yeah, that's where we need to go.
I love it because I truly, 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 truly believe that doctors should just be a temporary or an emergency person versus someone that you have to see long-term, because if they're not effective, if you are chronic, if you're chronically ill, there's something not working. And unfortunately, the way Western medicine teaches, they don't teach that. They don't teach that the mind has a lot to do with things. And there are very few doctors out there that embrace a holistic mindset. And those who do, I applaud. I love and I just high five them because I think they're amazing. But it's also taboo in some circles. So it's really, you know, at the end of the day, it's really your own ability and willingness to advocate for yourself, to learn what's working for you and what's not working for you, and to really be aware that if it's chronic, then something is not working, and there are people out there that can help you. Don't feel like you can only go to what your insurance does.
Exactly. Although I'm still waiting. Like, do you think there will ever be the day where insurance will start to cover these things, where insurance will, you know, support someone seeing a holistic nutritionist or an acupuncturist, you know, for more than just 5 sessions or even a life coach? I'm really hoping that that will happen one day.
I love your dream. I hope too. I just don't see it in my future. I think that there's a risk in that, you know, because if you heal them, then they don't need insurance. Why do you need insurance if you're not going to go to the doctor because you're healed? So where's the money coming from? And I think that's where we are stuck in that paradigm, because companies are thinking about their profitability. They don't really think about who you are as an individual, and that maybe healing you would make your life wonderful.
Yeah, no, that's very, very true. I'm shaking my head right now because I agree. I'm resonating and I'm shaking my head, just going, ugh, ain't that a shame? And so we
it
have to continue.
That's why you and I have the roles that we do. That's why we were blessed to do what we do, because now we can acknowledge that and say, you know what, I'm going to step into the place that they needed to step into, and I'm going to say, hey, here's this really awesome person who wrote this book about stress and how to de-stress and defunctify your mind, and definitely get it, definitely read it. You heard the conversation, she's good, you know, and that's where our role is. We get to do this exciting work to offset that stuff.
Absolutely. I definitely feel very, you know, blessed that I got to kind of wake up, I guess, in many ways. That sounds kind of cliche, but so I feel so grateful that, you know, I've been able to learn, you know, different paths and, you know, be able to be exposed to so much and for it to also resonate with me. Because like you were saying, you were like, you know, it's taboo and in some ways these things are taboo. Or, you know, recently I was saying like, you know, this may seem controversial or it's, you know, people don't want to go there and they don't want to have these kinds of conversations, but, you know, but somebody's got to do it. So I do feel very, very grateful that somehow I got to, you know, be part of that and make whatever ripple or impact or difference that I can, because we need it.
Well, as I always say here in Living and Thriving with Rusty, you get to join that conversation. And I love it. I love it. I get to virtually travel all over the world meeting amazing people who are doing amazing things to help other people in their challenge. And that's what you're doing. So high five to you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you. All right, Lillian. So this is a great place to stop and say, hey, Lillian, where do we find more information about you and this really cool book that you wrote, So Empowered, Discover the Five Layers of the Body to Take Control of Your Life?
Yeah, great. So you can find, what's that?
So that was my commercial voice.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay. That's what I thought. I was like, wait, are we breaking for a commercial? That was so convincing. I was like, wait, are we on a commercial right now? Oh, my God, that is so funny. I was like, I legitimately got confused. I'm like, wait, I'm sorry, is this commercial? Like, is this a cue for me? Like, what's going on? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
That's not work. Well, you can find my book on Amazon, and you can get the Kindle version, actually, for $2.99. So made it very accessible, very affordable, so that, you know, the most important thing is that this information is getting out and that there is a resource for people to actually access this information, you know, and be able to take care of themselves so that they can take control of their lives and, you know, in many ways not become stuck in these systems that are in many ways built to kind of keep us sick. So you can find it on Amazon, $2.99 for the Kindle version alone. And of course, you can always get the paperback copy as well. You can learn more about me and the work that I do and how I help my clients transform their lives by visiting my website, thesomethod.com. So it's thesomethod.com. And my name is Lillian So, so you can find me anywhere on the internet. It's really simple. Just put me in the Google and you'll get all the links, obviously, that way. But visit me at thesomethod.com, find me on the internet, and, you know, I'm always very responsive to all the different avenues that you can to get a hold of me. So, you know, come through. Holler at your girl.
That's it. High five, holler at the girl. All right, so I'm going to peel back my layers. Ready? What are my five layers that I'm supposed to be peeling back?
What are the five layers, did you say? The five layers of the body is actually inspired by yoga and what yoga philosophy teaches us. So in Sanskrit, yoga refers to it as the koshas, the five koshas. And koshas translates to sheets or layers of the body. And what they teach is that in order for us to achieve enlightenment, wholeness, connection to spirit, source, universe, God, whatever you want to call it, that we have to take care of ourselves and that we have to integrate and balance throughout all five layers of the body. And the five layers of the body goes beyond the physical body, right? So the physical layer, of course, is the body that we live in. It's your physical meat suit, your skin, bones, organs. That's the physical body. But beyond that is your energetic body and then your mental, emotional body, your wisdom spiritual body, as well as the bliss body. And so those are all five layers of your body. And I think a lot of times most people, hardly even take care of their physical body, but I think that's where a lot of people start, which is great. It's easily accessible, right? Your physical body. You can change your diet. You can change the way that you move, you know, your lifestyle habits and things like that. But oftentimes we're not thinking about our energy. We're not really thinking about how our thoughts and our emotions may be affecting us. Like we were talking about earlier, how, you know, it's inducing more stress or keeping more stress in the body. We're not thinking about how our intuition and tapping into our bliss is so important for, you know, total wellness as well as, you know, reaching our full potential. So those are the five layers.
And if you were to go in a 101, I've never done this before, I'm kind of nervous because it sounds woo-woo, you know those people. They're out there.
Right.
Not a big deal, at least in science. What would you say would be the most important to attack first?
Yeah, absolutely. And this, and that's, I get that. You know, it's funny. We always joke about inside my community how people think even feelings are woo-woo. It's like, oh, feelings. I'm talking about feelings.
Right.
That sounds kind of woo-woo to me. And it's like, what? Like, everybody has feelings. There's nothing woo-woo about that. Well, and so with that said, you know, the easiest place to start is the physical body. Because everybody, you know, has to take care of themselves at the very, very most basic layer, right? We literally need to drink water. We have to eat. We have to sleep. You know, we should move. We got to breathe, things like that. And so if we really make it a point to commit to the process, the journey of taking care of ourselves at the physical layer, over time, you are more likely now to be open to other aspects of yourself. You become more aware in general, right? Someone who is taking care of themselves, someone who is taking care of their body on a regular basis, over time will start to notice their energy levels fluctuating. They'll start to notice maybe their mood or their feelings, their emotions kind of wavering in and out. They'll start to notice more of the nuances of themselves as they get more and more committed to truly taking care of themselves at the physical body. So even if you don't believe in these other layers, or even if you think that, oh, that other stuff is woo-woo right now, that's fine. Just start by really committing to taking care of yourself at the physical layer. And over time, I do trust that you will naturally become more attuned and more curious about taking care of yourself beyond the physical layer.
I think that's very true. I think the first step is just to be open to the idea that maybe there's a different way of doing things, and to step inside that conversation. And I think it's really helpful when you're surrounded by people who have experience and have positive outlook, and you kind of stray away from the negative naysayers, which everyone in the world has at least one in their life.
Right.
And just have that conversation, you know. Conversations don't hurt.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like just have the conversation, just be open, even being open to exchanging the ideas already can open up so much. But, you know, it's pretty funny how, you know, we can be so scared, right? I think that's really what it is too, right? We're so afraid to kind of go into the unknown or try something different from what we know. Sometimes we're not even conscious of it. So, but yeah, it's there.
Absolutely. I know we're definitely not conscious of it because that's kind of been taken away from us. All right, so I'm not sure if this caller wants to ask a question, so hold on 1 second. Hello, caller, area code 217, did you have a question? Are you just listening in?
No, ma'am, I was just listening in. I appreciate you opening my mic. No, I'm just listening in.
Okay. All right, dear, thank you. All right, so he's just listening in, and hopefully he's able to de-stress and defunctify his brain. So let's talk about that, eliminating the never-ending to-do list. That's one thing I am notorious. I have more lists than Santa Claus does. How do you discard it and say, you know what, fuck that, as they say in Ireland?
I love that. I mean, there's always something to do, right? There's always responsibilities. That's, like, never going to go away. I think the most important thing that we need to do is start really becoming that much more aware and intentional about what it is that we're ultimately trying to achieve and accomplish. I think a lot of times we don't even realize that we've added on projects to do that we don't actually care about or need. I think we don't realize how often we say yes to people or yes to invitations or yes to some kind of project without actually thinking it through. And so when we become much more mindful, when we become that much more intentional, which once again comes from the process of taking care of yourself and, you know, really paying attention to your energy and your needs and all that stuff, over time, as you get more and more in tune with yourself, as you get more self-aware, as you get more intentional, as you start to really, really pay attention to how you feel and what you need, your to-do list will actually start to shrink because you will start to be better boundaried. You're not going to just take on things just because you can. You're going to think twice before you say yes. You're going to be that much more efficient. You're going to be that much more intentional with how you use your time. And so not only does the never-ending to-do list start to shrink, but then you also start to have more time to do the things that you actually want. You actually end up getting more done in a short amount of time because you're getting more efficient, because you're getting more healthy and so forth. So it starts to create like a new synergy and a new spiral, a new trajectory over time as you start to really take care of yourself.
That is huge. And I just want you to say it one more time. What is it going to do for you if you set boundaries and get good with them? What? One more time.
Oh, say that again. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. When we set boundaries and we're firm on our boundaries, what does that do for you?
Oh, yeah. So when we're firm on our boundaries and we're better at saying no and we're better at really paying attention to what we're saying yes to, what we're taking on, what we're volunteering to do, what that does is it helps us get that much more intentional and mindful around how we're spending our time. That naturally shrinks our to-do list because now we're not just taking on things just for the sake of it. And that actually frees up our time to do the things that we really, really want to do because we're living with so much intention.
I love it. Lillian, I want you back on someday soon. I absolutely love your mind and I love what you're doing. And you know what? When you treat your body like the fanciest dream house, I love that quote, by the way. It's true. You just have so much more time to do the things that you love to do, that you want to do, and you feel sparky and sparkly and just refreshed, and you're not bogged down with the crap.
Yep. Yes. You start to become like the fanciest house you've ever owned. Exactly. Everything becomes much more high quality. You become a high functioning, machine pretty much. And that's, I think everyone wants that.
Is there any last-minute words of advice that you want to offer before we have to close out the show today?
Yeah, I think I would leave any listeners with just like a simple like affirmation or validation that, you know, your natural normal baseline, your health, like you're meant to thrive. Our natural baseline is meant to be thriving. Like we're supposed to, as human beings, we're supposed to feel healthy. We're supposed to feel happy. We're supposed to wake up every day, like ideally, like that is what our natural body, mind, system, it wants to operate at that. But what we end up doing is we override. We stop paying attention. We start neglecting our needs. We don't give ourselves the proper love, care, and attention, nourishment that it needs, so then we start to deteriorate as a result. But you can reverse all of that, and you can take the power back. You can transform your life at any moment. It's never too early to start. It's never too late to start. And so if you don't feel like you are operating at 100%, if you don't feel like you are fully thriving, know that you don't have to take less than that. And that you don't have to take less than 100%, and that you can transform your life whenever you want. And it's not really that hard to get started. And obviously, you can learn more with my book.
Yay, Lillian! Thank you so much for being on. And again, don't be a stranger. I appreciate you and what you do. And let's get those layers peeled off, guys. We can do this. Stress doesn't have to own us, and we don't have to own it. All right. Miss Lillian, I have to say it's time to go. And again, thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank
you're
you. And
go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish up.
My tongue got caught and twirled. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. I'm so glad that you're here. We're busting one stress thing at a time, whether it's a to-do list, whether it's boundaries, which is something I'm getting really good at. I'm very proud of myself, which means that instead of having three jobs, I'm knocking down to two because I'm setting up my boundaries because I want to live a happy life. I want to live a long life. I want to be surfing on this planet in my water sack, cheering on all of you and watching you live and thrive and grow and change and be the miraculous creatures you are meant to be. You're meant to be sparkly. You're meant to giggle until water pops out of your nose and your belly button pops off and hits somebody in the eye. I'm serious. You're supposed to have fun. Life is joy. And you are the key element to providing joy, not only for yourself, but for others. And Lillian has an entire book for $2.99, I don't know if I heard that right, on Kendall. To me a miracle. It should be a bazillion dollars, but whatever. Go out and get it for $2.99 if you have a Kendall. You know, you're going to really empower yourself. Take that one step towards being a better version of you. I say it every week because I love you, and you're beautiful, and you're amazing. And go and do something fun, and do something kind. It's just so much need for kindness right now, and I'm so grateful to do this and to be with you and share Thursdays with you, talking about wonderful things that you can do to be a better version of you. Now, I get to go and play with my puppies and teach my daughter how to make homemade chicken Alfredo because it's time. She's 16. She needs to learn how to cook. I love you, and until then.
Living and vibing with Rusty.